The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and Jay Hood. Follow Cap J. Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Woo! Oh, God! Welcome in to the Captain J. Hood Morning Show. Here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood, we have got Shay, we've got JC, we got you. For a three-hour ride here on this Wednesday morning with open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. As always, thanks for keeping the conversation going, brought to you by DraftKings. And here we go, Cap. So much busy stories buzzing about around San Diego, California for what's going on with the baseball and what's happening with the hot stove. There's nothing like it, Cap, when you're going back and forth to find out what your favorite team is doing. Jesse Rogers has been all over it. We're going to hear from Jesse coming up at 9:35. But the Cubs are making a lot of news here early on here with the hot stove league.
Good morning to you, my friend. I told everybody 2 days ago, the spigot is open. This is not Jed begging for the checkbook. Tom Ricketts and his family said, okay, we traded away the guys. That was the right move. We're rebuilding. It's time to go. Jed, serious? I can do that? Let's go! And he took a full complement of checks, even a little backup book.
Yes.
Okay, that one's empty. Here's more checks.
Mm-hmm.
They're not done.
And the carbon paper behind it, by the way.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who did you make check 1164 out to? Bellinger, Cody, 17.5. If you're just waking up, you're like, "What? Okay, they got him. What else?" Jameson Taillon. They beat a bunch of teams for this dude. 4 years, $68 million. He was 14-10, I believe, with the Yankees last year.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very competent starting pitcher. And they're not done.
Yeah, so with the Taillon, he's coming off one of the best seasons of his career. 14-5, almost
14-5.
Yeah, 4 ERA, striking out 151 and 171 and one-thirds innings with the Yankees. And so now you've got partners. It's Stroman and Taillon, 1-2 in your rotation.
So you have him. You hope that Kyle Hendricks comes back healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave him to the side for a moment. And Justin Steele looks like a keeper in your rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden Wesneski is going to get every shot to be in that rotation. Keegan Thompson, maybe he's in the bullpen, maybe he's in the rotation. And they may not be done yet there. They are absolutely in play on Correa, Bogarts, and Dansby Swanson. I think the most likely scenario is one of either Dansby Swanson and Xander Bogarts, who would move to third, or Carlos Correa. I'll be surprised. Could it happen? Certainly. I'll be surprised if they get Correa at short and they get Bogarts at third.
You know, but before we go deep into this, into the weeds on this, I will just ask on the surface. Like, if you're Jed Hoyer, of course you are communicating as much as you can with Tom Ricketts about the state of the 2022 Chicago Cubs. Why does he need to be cajoled? Why does he need to be told, hey, man, we can start spending money here. We went through a tough season, last couple of seasons. Let's go. And I don't know why he asked. Why does he have
I don't think it's cajoled as much as we just got out of the Hayward deal.
Yeah.
Let's be prudent about what we spend here until we're ready. But again, you don't know what opportunity presents itself. There is no Carlos Correa next year. Go look at the list. I already did.
I guess my point, though, Cap, is that, I don't know if I'm in his position whether or not I'm waiting for a green light or not. It's like, well, Hayward's off the books. That's exactly what we were waiting for. Now we could be able to start trying to upgrade the team. Again, maybe not wholesale changes, but definitely this is a step in the right direction. You see what's out there, right? And so why not 2022? Like, all I asked for coming into this offseason, if from the Cubs standpoint, is, hey, man, you got to find your Lester. What I was telling you is that it was important for the Cubs to try to find a free agent or two to be able to, for others to say, boy, you know what? The Cubs are open for business. If you're going to sign that guy, then you know what? This is going to be the place to be. Because that's what all this is, how this whole thing happened with Theo. It had to be Lester talked into being a Chicago Cub for the floodgates to open, for others to be able to be part of something special. And the same thing here. This is the impetus of something special here when you're able to make a couple of signings, Bellinger, Tyone, and maybe more. Now you're on your way.
Correct. I think, Jed, they have to pay Hayward this last year. He's off the roster. Sure. He's gone. But they still have to write that check. So it still comes out of some budget. I believe that Jed wanted to be prudent. Yes, in the right scenario, we'll spend, and he's been clear. I'm going to spend money. Now the gloves are off. You know what? There's more money in this industry. We're back to pre-pandemic spending levels. Let's go. And Tom made it clear. Jed, I appreciate the thoughtful, intelligent spending comments, all of that. It's time to go. Let's get it done.
Yep.
The family, I know for a fact, the family met, and they do all the time, talk. This is not like Tom telling his brothers and sister, hey, I'm doing it. No, it's what should we do here? It's time to go.
Yeah.
They signed off on trading Bryant and Rizzo and Baez, and what'd they trade? Seven guys that two-day period?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the right decision. Thank goodness they don't have Chris Bryant under contract. He had a horrible year, injuries and all that in Colorado. I'd like to have his $182 million.
It was time to turn the page on all of that.
Correct.
Yeah.
But you also need to make sure you don't get into a deal and go, oh, God, we just got out of the Hayward deal, and now we're right back in it again. So if you're going to give someone a long deal, it better be a star-level player. Correa or Swanson, I think, comes a lot cheaper. I think you can get Swanson and Bogarts for just a little bit more than it would cost just for Carlos Correa.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that makes more sense. Maybe just get Dansby Swanson. He's a very good player.
Sure.
Everyone will be like, oh, we got Swanson. He's still going to make $150 million or whatever it is he's going to get.
Whatever it is, if I'm a Cub fan, and I feel the same way about the White Sox, is that we're in a big boy market. And when it's time to spend, it's time to start contending, because you have to look in the rearview mirror of what used to be. The Bryants, the Rizzo, that era is over. Contreras, all that is over. And so it's time to contend. You cannot just be down there with the Pirates and Reds for 2022, 2023, 2024. You can't do that. It's time, Cap, to be able to start looking at this team and saying, okay, who can help us for the next iteration, the next generation of Cubs baseball? And you do it through free agency.
And you also have to look ahead to what's next year's class,
mm-hmm.
which I have in front of me. There's not a lot there. Reese Hoskins.
Okay.
CJ Krohn from the Colorado Rockies. He's all right. Whit Merrifield, and there's an option there. Matt Chapman. Rafael Devers would be absolutely someone you would look at. Manny Machado has an opt-out. Again, Manny Machado comes with, he's going to get 10 years, and he's going to get stupid money. So if you see somebody you like, Tim Anderson's not in play for trades,
right?
Because he signed that deal, which I don't know if he regrets it or not. $12.5 million is nothing in baseball terms, and he's got, I think, two more club options.
Yeah,
club options.
I mean, think about where Tim Anderson started. I didn't know he was going to be batting champion. To know that he'd be a catalyst for the team offensively. You could project that, but you don't know until you see it on the field. So I didn't know any of that. So by the way, for those are driving around, Cap, mm-hmm. or those are listening, let's go around the horn here with the Cubs. So let's go from left to right, and let's go around the diamond and see what the Cubs look like so far for 2023.
Okay.
So you told me that both corner outfield positions are solidified, right?
Correct. David Ross has been crystal clear. Ian Happ gets left field. Seiya Suzuki gets right.
And center is still to be determined.
Cody Bellinger.
It's going to be Cody.
He will be your center fielder.
Okay. Third base?
Don't have one.
Not yet, right?
I mean, is it Patrick Wisdom?
Not yet. You probably look into that, though, right?
Well, that's if you could get Bogarts to agree to go to third and then get one of the shortstops, and then you move Horner over to second,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
And trying to figure out what you're going to do at first.
Correct. Could you move Wisdom to first? Absolutely you could. Good dude, plays hard, gives you a big power, but he's not. He strikes out like Schwarber does,
mm-hmm.
and he's not as good, obviously. So
behind the plate,
you have Yan Gomes, and then they're in their heart on Christian Vasquez, who finished the season with Houston,
mm-hmm.
played with the Boston Red Sox, got a good arm, solid player, not spectacular, but he's got a lot of people chasing him. They're also in play on Sean Murphy, the catcher who's going to get traded
mm-hmm.
from Oakland, but that's going to come at a high cost. Everyone wants him. So you're giving up top prospects to get that guy.
So your DH could be... Is Reyes back on the roster?
Franmil Reyes is in play to have that role. And then you can rotate through Bellinger so he's not out there every day in the outfield. Wisdom. But Matt Mervis is a prospect coming who might get opportunities at first base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had money on the table for Jose Abreu. 2 years, $40 million. He got 3 years, $60 million from the Astros. I don't blame him for taking a third guaranteed year.
Absolutely.
To go play on a team that won the World Series.
I
get it.
More than likely to be first base DH for
correct.
Dusty. Absolutely.
Correct.
So you are correct then in this assumption that Chris Morel is just going to be like a, he could play a little second, give you a little short, could play any outfield position.
A little third.
Just that guy.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's the way it looks. What does that do for David Bote, by the way?
He's already off the 40-man. He is in the minors. He's in the organization. His agent, he better send a really nice Christmas gift, because when Theo was trying to get all those dudes signed and nobody took his money other than Hendricks,
mm-hmm.
he offered Bryant and Baez and Rizzo and Schwarber, all these guys. Nobody took the money. Theo got a phone call. Yeah, this is Jonathan Hood. I represent David Bote. Hey, how you doing, Jonathan? What's going on? We'll make you a deal right now. He'd like to extend his relationship with you. Okay. Theo threw him a low ball. I'll give you 5 years for $15 million. I think that was the number. You can look it up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was five for... Done! Dude, he's a minor league guy now.
Yeah. And that's something?
But he's got a wife. He's got three kids. He was smart. No, I'm not... I'm good. I'm getting my $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. Good for him.
So this is interesting to look at this depth chart as we just laid out for you about what the Cubs are trying to do. They are all in. They are trying to reimagine this ball club for 2023. And if you're a Cubs fan, you should feel good about that this morning. So let's open the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. So, Shay, let's do this. Have the Cubs made themselves the most exciting team in the city with these winter meetings? Do you expect them to get one of these shortstops that Cap's talking about as well? So let's talk about that. And on the other side, we'll take your phone calls on the Cubs. And, oh, White Sox fans. Let's talk about all the splash moves that the White Sox have made so far here in the winter meetings. Here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. As we talk about the winter meetings taking place in San Diego, it's a top story, Cap, because things are really working out well for the Cubs as far as the signings that they made, Bellinger and Tyone, and they're in the water for some more, I'm sure. Maybe one or two more players before they leave San Diego for the winter meetings, huh? Possibly?
I think they're going to get a shortstop. Whether that happens today, whether that happens in 2 weeks, I can't tell you, but I think that market's moving more quickly than people thought. once Trey Turner went off the board, people were like, all right, let's go. So you've had Correa meeting off-site in Newport Beach with a bunch of teams, including the Cubs had Carter Hawkins and David Ross and obviously Jed and others do their pitch. And they have already met with Bogarts. They've already met with Swanson. Swanson's in on with the Cardinals, the Cubs, and others, the Braves. So we'll see where that goes. Did you see the back page of the Sun-Times today? This is a Boris quote.
Yeah. The tom-tom drum is finally beating again. He had a lot of quips to the press
yesterday.
You
know somebody writes all that stuff up for him.
The tom-tom drum.
The tom-tom drum is finally beating again.
Some thoughts now from David Ross, the manager for the Cubs, talking about Cody Bellinger, says that he's a dynamic player.
He's a dynamic player, right? He has been. He's had some struggles offensively, probably because of the injuries. That's what you're banking on, like getting back strong, getting back healthy, being able to get that rhythm back, put some work into the offseason, make some tweaks here and there, a change of scenery. He comes in, like he's a dynamic player. He can run. He can throw. He can play defense. He's a good guy in the clubhouse, a left-handed bat with power, stuff that we don't have a whole lot of.
So some thoughts there about David Ross. Some truth there.
Yes.
Some we don't have a lot of.
Correct. They have got to get more thump in their lineup. He's put, look, you know me, I'm a diehard Cub fan.
Sure.
What have they accomplished to this point other than signaling we're in on everybody and we're spending money? Have they really, truly added to their roster? Cody Bellinger has worse numbers than Jason Hayward. Mm-hmm. Now, he had a shoulder injury and some other factors going on. And I think there is a good chance of a return to pre-injury levels. I'm not telling you he's going to be the MVP, but he could be a very good player. Tyone? Tyone's a solid pitcher. He's not, oh my God. So,
if I may quickly, we have a little bit of breaking news. I don't want to hit the sounder yet because it's not passing. And we saw what happened yesterday. So we have to be very careful in the way that we report some of these things. But sure. John Paul Morosi is reporting Aaron Judge is in agreement with the New York Yankees.
It's what we expected, actually. Yeah. And we'll keep our eyes on that story. But it's what we expected, that it's not goodbye. It's just trying to retool. And you know, for the Yankees, because they are just desperate to win a World Series, they've been without a World Series for a long time. Look, it's not about the back end of that contract. It's about the front end to try to win as soon as possible. You know that toward the middle to the back end of that contract, it won't be worth much, Cap, as far as his production. It's just not. How old is he? 30?
He's 20, 30, I believe.
30. You know how that body will break down at some point, or the production won't be as strong, unless he has a Pujols-like run.
30 years old, yeah.
Hey, Siri, how old? Oh, you already got it. Never mind. Thanks, Siri.
Were you just going to ask Siri how old he is on the air?
I was, 100%. Technological advancements in the world, kid.
And have her talk into the microphone?
That's a fine.
Yeah.
That's not a fine.
That is where you get money rebated out of the cup to you for being smart.
Shockingly, you're all about the rebate. 312-332-3776 is our phone number.
You raise $300,000 for a charity and you get that from your partner.
You did it by yourself.
No, I didn't say that.
Some thoughts now. Yeah, you said you, meaning you.
No, me being part of a team.
Oh.
Bernie's Book Bank and ESPN 1000.
Oh, that sounds different.
Yeah.
Some thoughts now.
And see snarling out there, chopping up steps. Go ahead.
What are you doing with that? We're having a good show. Why? That's when I'm gone. Then you can bring the dark cloud in.
That's it.
Some thoughts now from Jed Hoyer, from Marquee. On free agency and getting winning players.
I mean, we want guys that are about winning. You know, we want guys that we talk about our plan and what we want to achieve. And we, you know, and I think we want guys that buy into that. We want guys that really want to come in here and be part of something, you know, special for a long term. There'll be guys we bring in on 1 year deals. There'll be guys we bring in on longer deals. The guys on longer deals, we definitely want to make sure we're open and honest. But this is what we're trying to create, and we want you to come in and be part of it. And you know, bringing in really good makeup, good people. That's critical to what we want to do.
So thoughts from Jed Hoyer. That's courtesy of the Marquee Network. Someone had to play it so they can hear it. Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. We go to
What don't you like about the Marquee Network?
You won't be saying that in 2 years. We say hello to Frank and Lombard on ESPN 1000 as we talk free agency for the Cubs and Sox. Hello, Frank.
Morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's up?
So besides being a diehard Cub fan, I'm a diehard Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see Talion pitch all year long.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say he's a number four at best. He struggles to get out of the fifth and sixth inning almost every game. And we got to remember, the Yankees' offense was really good in the beginning of the year, and that's where he won most of his games. And besides that, the Cubs signed a 217 hitter. So don't confuse activity with productivity, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
We turn now to young reporter Shay Norling with breaking news here on Cabin J. Hoche.
Right now we can hit the sounder because Ken Rosenthal has confirmed reports. We have to wait. For me, things have to come from Passan or Ken if we're going to use the sounder and put them on the air.
J.P. Morosi's pretty reliable dude.
Aaron Judge, well, so is John Heyman usually. But again, we saw what happened yesterday.
So what do we have here on Aaron Judge? What is it?
Aaron Judge is in agreement with the Yankees, 9 years, $360 million.
Well, again, Cap, you're looking at the front end of that deal. You're trying to win now. You know that after year five that's not worth a hill of beans. As far as his production. 9 years? He's 30? Okay. We know what that is. He will not be a Yankee the entire time.
And they ended up getting him. They're lucky because he's from the West Coast. He thought about going back to the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Who he grew up a Giants fan. And he had turned down, what, $213 million was the Yankees' final offer. That was what they offered him in the spring last year. He went, yeah, no, not happening. He ends up getting $147 million
more. How about that, Frank?
Yeah, I don't know if you heard my last comment. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What'd you think of that news we just gave?
I think that's great for the Yankees. I mean, again, that's a lot of money to pay somebody.
Not your money.
That's not my money, thank God. But again, the Yankees need a lot of work, too. I mean, just like the Cubs, again, it's just don't confuse activity with productivity. Judge is great, don't get me wrong, but they need a lot of work. A lot of these teams, I mean,
yeah.
I just don't see it with the Cubs with these two guys that they just got. They need to get more.
I'm higher on Tyone than I am with Bellinger, but again, Bellinger is just a one-year deal. Because here's the thing. If you think that Tyone is a third or fourth starter, then that's fine. At least he's part of a rotation that has some teeth. Like, as Cap mentioned, let's see what Hendricks does. Let's see how healthy he'll be.
Yep, Stroman and Justin Steele and Keegan Thompson and Hayden Wisniewski. There's a bunch of dudes in there, and I know what Frank is saying, but that's what most pitchers are now today. You're not getting Max Scherzer here pitching 137 pitches in the eighth inning. It's just not the way the game is played today. I wish it was. It's not.
Now to the White Sox.
All right, thanks for listening to the show.
We crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah coming up in 2 minutes. I mean, Cap, nothing's happening there. You got a deal on Clevinger, which I support, by the way. Back of the rotation guy. Okay, and then what?
Not much.
Cap, can I just tell you something? Now, you can be as crafty as you like if you're Rick Hahn trying to be able to make a deal or two. And if you do that, that's fine. But actually make the deal. Do not leave San Diego and then stand up against, you know, some cold hotel wall saying, well, we tried. We've tried. We were trying to make attempts to try to make the ball club better, and we didn't. That's just not acceptable. There's a reason why there's not a Sox Fest. Could you imagine doing nothing at the deadline and then doing hardly anything here so far? Sox fans don't want to hear that.
Correct.
Because 81 and 81 is unacceptable. La Russa in the dugout or not, that ball club was destined to be a perennial playoff team. And they egregiously took a step backwards by being just a 500 ball club. That just won't do. Now, you're worried about the turnstiles clicking over there at 35th and Vec. You know, I could click more by actually making some action. Running back the same ball club without Abreu is not good enough. That's not action.
But you do have talent on that roster. Let's be clear.
That's 500 talent. That's what we saw. And we saw a team that couldn't stay healthy.
But if it does stay healthier, perhaps getting the sideshow of everything that went on around Tony last year out of there. I still would like to have Andrew Vaughn. I still would like to have Luis Robert, Aloy Jimenez. There's a bunch of dudes that could pitch. Dylan Cease, Tim Anderson, Yoan Makai. You need a second baseman. We'll trade you Madrigal.
No, thanks. No, that's your guy for the future. That's what you're telling me. I like him. Do you now? He may not be in the mix.
He may not?
Put him. We got you again.
Put him in. You didn't get us. You got nothing from us.
No, we gave you our scraps. Like, you take him because I told you he was not fundamentally
right.
sound
that
for your
Craig
ball club.
Craig Kimbrell addition really worked out well for you guys.
Hey, man. Hey, listen. That's going to be a wash at the end of the day. How about that?
Got Cody Hoyer. We'll see.
We'll see. But with Kimbrell, he was out of place.
He was.
It's a closer. He was not a setup guy.
Correct.
He was a fish out of water in that spot.
Correct. And then you got A.J. Pollock, and he exercised his option to go, I'm out of here.
I get it.
He's gone.
Nice little player.
In the end, right now, the only two guys left standing are Madrigal and Cody Hoyer on the north side. You have nothing. And if Madrigal gets thrown in a deal, here, take it. You can have that. Add it in.
You won't listen to me. You won't listen to me. I watched him. I'm a Sox fan. It's like, that guy, just not fundamentally sound. Runs the bases like a deer. and I don't mean by quickness. I mean just galloping all over the place like he's on ice. Horrible. It's like, oh, you take him. Not very good. On a winning ball club, that's not the guy. Told you that. And now he's just kind of expendable now as you try to do much better in your infield. Rightfully so.
Nico Hoerner, who was in the same draft, by the way, and went 20 picks later. 21.
We're going to hear from Rick Hahn coming up. Oh, Sox fans, you got to hear from Rick Hahn because he's open-minded to trade possibilities. We'll talk about that coming up next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and J-Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Morning show here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We hope that you have a great Wednesday morning. Cap and I are chopping it up, talking about what's happening in San Diego with the Cubs and the White Sox, with the winter meetings, as well as the Bears. Don't forget, we got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. I mentioned the ESPN Chicago app. That's where you can find White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight. Need your White Sox fix? Check out Connor McKnight exclusively on the ESPN Chicago app. Speaking of the White Sox, here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. Some thoughts from Rick Hahn, the general manager for the White Sox. He's being open-minded about trade possibilities.
You know, a year ago, we're coming off a division championship. We're widely prognosticated to win the division going away. So a blockbuster, roster-shaking move was probably a little less on the agenda. This year, I think we have to be open-minded, given the way we performed in 22. Does it mean that's what's going to happen? Not necessarily, but we at least have to be open-minded to something like that.
When you say open-minded, I mean, would that be people coming to you, or do you be open-minded of being the aggressive team?
Both.
Looking to shake
both. We have all sorts of ideas floating around. I mean, some that we volunteer to other clubs, and some that, come through the door from someone else's brainchild. Again, we have to. It's been important to us to look at how we do things with fresh eyes. Everything from our pregame prep to our hitting program to our sports performance side of things to how we make decisions in the front office. Like, we have to, based on how things went last year, we need fresh eyes on everything.
Ah, nothing like some good sox-splaining. Love a good sox-splain from Rick Hahn. Minute 2. Of him saying nothing. Yeah, it's fresh eyes, yes, but just make sure it's very clear, Cap. If you leave San Diego with just Clevinger, that's a major problem for me. Because no matter how talented I think they are and you think they are, it did not manifest itself into a playoff berth. They were injured, they were banged up, and it needs to be some change over there. This team, I said from the beginning with this iteration of the White Sox, that the door was open for the next 7 to 10 years of them to be able to walk through it and win a World Series championship.
But it was more than just the outrage over Tony. There was more that has to get fixed. A right fielder now will play his natural position, first base. Right?
Yeah.
So there's got to be a lot. So my question for everybody out there is, are you shocked the Cubs are this aggressive? Are you shocked the White Sox are this unaggressive?
That's just what I'm saying.
Telling you the Cubs got a lot more money to spend and they're going to do it.
I understand that. From the White Sox standpoint, I just don't want them to just stand there and say, you know what? What we saw from Yoan Moncada the last couple of seasons, that's just an anomaly. He's actually going to come through and be the player we always thought. That's not happening.
Agreed. Agreed.
It's not happening.
Agreed.
You got took on that deal. Sorry. The Red Sox had the better of that deal.
Well, they won a World Series with Chris Sale. 312-332-3776.
So then what? On the Sox side, then what? Then what? Because as much as I could laud Tim Anderson and Vaughn now playing at first base, so who's playing center field?
Who's Luis Robert?
Okay. Who's playing left field?
Probably Gavin Sheets. Because A.J. Pollock's not there anymore. And I don't know who your right fielder is. Jimenez is your DH.
Yeah.
Tim Anderson's at short. Moncada's at third. Vaughn is at first. You need a... And they've said, we're in the catching market.
You're sure Aloy is going to be the everyday DH. I'm all for it. I just want to make sure because I know he doesn't want to play the position, but it's not about what he wants. He's just a liability out there in left field.
I would think 96% of the time he's going to be a DH. He'll give you a few spot starts in the left to give somebody a break.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It's just,
and then you got to find a second baseman. You need to add to your pitching staff. And if you trade Liam Hendricks, who are you closing with?
Right.
Tell me that shaky bastard Joe Kelly.
No.
Not Aaron Bummer. Mm-hmm. Is it Reynaldo Lopez? I don't know. Maybe.
Lopez has been a nice long relief guy for you. I like his role. I think he has turned his career around.
Yeah, he's, it wasn't you can as a starter. Use him as a setup guy.
Yeah, definitely not as a starter. So I just want to point that out, Cap, because that's just not, as a Sox fan, I'm just telling you that I am not satisfied by what I see right here. You just don't assume, because the Sox do that too often. Just roll them back out there and it's going to be fine. That's not good enough.
Agree. But we saw that with the Bulls, and it's not good enough. So... Again, the Cubs make another move overnight. They get Jameson Taillon, 4 for $68 million. They got Cody Bellinger yesterday, and they are in play on all three of the remaining shortstops. If you just got in the car, Aaron Judge is off the board. He's a Yankee again. 9 for $360 million. You don't want to play in the deep end of the pool to get out of the pool.
Yeah, that's we're talking about you, Rick Hahn. We're talking about the White Sox. I mean, because...
Correct.
So we looked at the payroll before we came on. 135 for the payroll, 139 for the payroll for the White Sox. See, it's not about whether it's 200 or 250 or 138. It's about the quality on the team, Cap.
Agreed.
That's what it comes down to. The quality, agreed. Because you had to make some changes there. You just, look, all I wanted when Tony was here as the manager is to be able to tighten the screws on this White Sox team. Rick Renteria wasn't the guy, according to Jerry Reinsdorf. He thought, let's upgrade this with a Hall of Fame manager. And it did not work out. He's supposed to make sure that they were fundamentally sound. The things that they needed to do, they thought that Tony would be able to do that. And it did not work out at all. So now here's Grafal. And you could just say that you want to play with Edge. I don't know if the players are ready to play with Edge. I don't even know what that means, playing with Edge.
Right. We want to play with Edge. We want them to play hard for me. Every manager says that.
I don't even know what that means. Like you want them to play with spikes up? You want them to play dirty? You want them to, what we say in basketball, play to the echo of the whistle or football? What does that even mean? How about just playing solid baseball and live up to your expectations?
The hits principle.
Yes. And what do you need for the hits principle, Cap?
Talent.
And the S, the H, the I. Right.
All of it.
Yeah. If you want to spell hits principle, that's for sure. Coming up, would you bring Fields back from the Bears bye week if he can't play to his full ability? This is something from Waddlin Sylvian, and we're going to address that. You know, again, bringing back Fields during the bye week if he can't play to his full ability. We'll talk about that coming up next. Shot or no shot coming up at 8 o'clock. All part of the mix right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Jay Hood. Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I to remind you, coming up, we've got Shot or No Shot at 8 o'clock. We'll go around the National Football League. We've got some Bears and NFL information for you coming up at 8:35 right here on ESPN 1000. So you asked an interesting question, Cap, regarding Justin Fields, because we had Albert Breer on the show yesterday, as we do every Tuesday at 8:35, about what to do with Justin Fields during the bye.
Correct. And the discussion point is he's not 100%. Now, nobody is at this point in the season. I know that's the standard response. I get it. He has an injury. It's not like his body's just banged up. He has an injury to his left non-throwing shoulder. They also stopped running him in the second half. That was obvious. They had David Montgomery and the Wildcat. They were handing off. And I was told by somebody who would know, yes, there was a concerted effort to not run him in the second half. He was banged up. So Alex Brown said to us, I've seen enough. Sit him. Done. See ya. You're not playing the last handful of games.
Mm-hmm.
What are they, 3-10?
Yeah.
So there's four games left.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Waddle is emphatic. He needs the reps. I don't disagree with Tommy. The question is, do you make a better decision by sitting him, protecting your asset, so that this offseason is not about rehabilitation. It's about conditioning, getting ready, learning chemistry with new receivers, the whole thing.
Okay. My bigger question is, like, does he have to play? And if he plays, who's he playing for? So Waddle says he's playing for because of the reps. He hasn't had enough reps, Cap, to realize that he if it's to about winning and losing, they're not winning the rest of these games, more than likely. We knew this coming into the season when we saw the schedule. Eagles, Bills, Vikings, they played the Lions on January 1st. It's like,
at Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a very daunting schedule, especially toward the bottom of it there here in December. So what's the purpose of him playing if he's not at 100%? Now, again, he did not run all over the field like he did. Now, he ran for a touchdown, sure, but he didn't run for like we've seen the last few games for him. So he didn't have to do that. And it made me wonder, was he hurting so much in the second half that he did not run more? Because we're used to seeing him in all four quarters, if he can, be able to run for first downs, take some contact, and he wasn't doing a lot of that.
Not in the second half. He was not. So
what's the lesson here if he plays?
If he has to, first of all, love Mark Potash. Know that.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Potsy guy.
Sure.
He had a bad column today.
I read it.
He talked about how Justin's gone through all these games and he hasn't been able to deliver at the end victories.
Well, that's no different than the Morrissey piece we just read a couple of days ago.
Correct. About the process and all of that. And I just thought it was both columns. Bad. Bad, bad, bad. Potsy, love you dearly. Bad. He talks about the number of times Justin has had the ball in his hands with the game on the line at the end. Well, I think he hit Smith Marsette in the face with one perfect pass.
Mm-hmm.
I think Smith Marsette stepped back in bounds as they're driving to beat Minnesota and fumbled. Loss. Darnell Mooney double clutches a ball in the end zone at the goal line. That causes a loss. He catches it. They win.
Mm-hmm.
They've had multiple opportunities where it's not on Justin.
I agree, Cap, but I think that these columns that we read from Potsy and from Morrissey is about the bottom line. And the bottom line for a lot of fans, and definitely the writers, is did you win or did you lose those games? And again, you have to take in perspective that look at this roster, right? I mean, look at the roster. Yes, you are in the mix to be able to win these games, but this is when you need game changers to make sure you solidify those victories. And when you threw it to Smith Marsette or you throw it to St. Brown, those aren't difference makers or game changers.
Correct.
So that should have been in the column too. Like, yeah, they couldn't close, but who was trying to close? When you need a big stop defensively, who's making the sack?
Correct.
Who's putting pressure on? There's no-name defense? So you got to put all of that is true, but put in perspective who's on the field too.
He says, when Peyton Manning was a rookie in 1998, He established himself as a burgeoning star but couldn't finish. When the Colts were within one score in the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter with Manning at quarterback that year, they were 1-6. His passer rating, 30.2, with a low completion percentage, 42.9%, one touchdown, five interceptions, and they were frustrated. Well, guess what? Justin Fields is 1-7 in games like that. The only victory over the hapless Texans when a Roquan Smith interception set up a four-play, zero-yard field goal drive to win 23-20. Basically, when he says zero-yard, they were already in the red zone. They were just making sure they set it up for the kick.
Yeah.
Ran the clock down and won. So Aaron Rodgers, 0-8 in crunch time games as a first-year starter in 2008 with a 29.3 passer rating, no TDs, four interceptions. Joe Burrow, 0-3-1. Josh Allen, 1-2. Tom Brady, 2-2 with just a 68.5 rating with one TD, one interception. They all developed the it factor. Yeah, they also had players around them.
That is correct. Again,
Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison and Dallas Clark and a hell of an offensive line. That's all part of it.
Again, it's the perspective, Cap.
Correct.
Yes, it's true. The Bears have been getting their ass kicked, and they've been losing a lot of games. Yes, sometimes it's a one-score game, but again, to solidify that victory, who's on the field is going to make plays besides Justin Fields?
Correct.
So, I mean, yes, Potsy's right. Yes, Morrissey's right, because you cannot deny the losses. But how do you get around those losses? Have a better offseason, draft and free agency, and then see the difference. Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.